If you dig the twisted, admire the outlandish, and are enamored by the unusual, you're in the right place. True crime, the supernatural, the unexplained, now you're speaking our language. If you agree, join us as we dive into the darker side. You know, because it's more fun over here. Welcome to Total Conundrum.
Warning, some listeners may find the following content disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, Conundrum Crew. You're tuning in to Total Conundrum, the podcast where we dig into the creepiest hauntings, darkest legends, and weirdest history, while somehow managing to make you laugh along the way.
And today, we're taking you to a place straight out of a gothic horror story. We're talking about Trevena Castle, a fortress with a chilling past, ghostly whispers, and a resident spirit who might not be too happy about visitors.
Yeah, this isn't just some abandoned ruin with a few spooky stories. People have reported footsteps in empty hallways, doors slamming on their own, and an eerie shadow that always seems to be watching.
And of course, we'll break it all down. The sinister history of the castle, the tragic deaths that started it all, and the terrifying encounters that still happen today.
Quick heads up, this episode is packed with eerie tales, ghostly encounters, and spine-chilling details. So if you get scared easily, maybe listen to it with the lights on.
But if you're ready for a dose of haunted history, buckle up. Let's dive into the legend of Trevena Castle, where the past refuses to rest.
Before we step into the shadows of Trevena Castle, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button, leave us a review on Apple and Spotify, and ring that notification bell on YouTube so you never miss an episode. Your support keeps us exploring the unknown. Got a ghost story or a topic idea? Find us at totalconundrum.com, or you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
And because we know you love a good supernatural tale, stick around till the end. We've got some trailers from our podcast pals at Zach Solve Mysteries and Greyhorn Pagans. Be sure to check them out. But now, let's get into the haunted halls of Trevena Castle, where history lingers and the spirits never left.
We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome to Zach Solved Mysteries, the most important podcast you'll ever hear in your life.
I know enough about most things to be inaccurate about everything.
We're not just a podcast, we're an experience.
This story f***s, dude.
Prepare to have your life transformed, because not listening to us could be a grave mistake.
You must wake up every day and say, today's the day someone's gonna murder me.
We're not just tackling the classic mysteries of the past. We're rewriting history itself.
Robert Stack, I think, had dirt on people.
Forget everything you thought you knew about unsolved mysteries, or any sort of mystery.
Maybe there were giants. Who knows? Who cares?
Subscribe now to Zach Solve Mysteries anywhere you get your podcasts. Get solved.
Ha ha, mystery solved, my bitches.
And back to the show.
Trevena Castle is on Shetland, an island 110 miles west of the mainland Scotland. Mossbank is a village in the northeast of Shetland, Scotland, with a population of 662.
Mossbank has a small airport, and Toft, a town to the southwest, has a port for ship transport. Trevena Castle is about 50 miles north of Mossbank, and it's incredibly remote. Reaching the castle was no easy task.
The journey required driving up a steep mountain road, winding along dangerous cliffs before finally arriving to a vast plateau where the castle loomed. The plateau offered breathtaking mountain views to the north, while on all other sides, sheer cliffs that fall away into the sea.
The castle was built on 120 acres of lush greenery and diverse vegetation. To the east of the cliffside stood a solitary lighthouse, a silent sentinel built in 1784, the same year as Trevena Castle.
Thomas Graves, a self-made billionaire and world traveler, was always on the lookout for his next big adventure or business opportunity, but he wasn't sure which one he would find first. Thomas had stumbled upon Trevena Castle during a search for a secluded retreat.
Thomas set up an appointment with local realtor Bob Higgins. He told Bob he would like to look at the Mossbank Trevena Castle property. Bob told Thomas he was more than welcome to visit. However, he would never set foot in that place again.
Bob didn't say anything more, and Thomas didn't ask any more questions. He figured he would just get a bunch of fairy tales and folklore about the property. He had already heard the rumors around town about the property. Everyone seemed to be scared of Trevena Castle.
Thomas, a skeptic in most things, didn't believe in ghost stories. He met Bob at the office to pick up the keys to the property. The key, it was an old antique one. Thomas chuckled softly to himself, thinking that this key was as old as the house. He then rented a Jeep in Taft and set out for the long drive.
Trevena was about a 3-hour drive from Taft, and Thomas knew that with all the running around and gathering supplies and getting the key, he would just make it to the property at dusk. Getting up the mountain took longer than Thomas thought, and at this point, it was dark. Thomas was glad that he grabbed flashlights before leaving, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to see anything, for there was no power at the castle. Thomas got onto the plateau and could see Trevena Castle in the distance. It was an ominous sight, and the scale of it was enormous.
Thomas stepped out of the Jeep. The wind howled like a mournful spirit through the crumbling ruins of Trevena Castle. Thomas's eyes gleamed with excitement at finally being here and exploring this 240-year-old castle and its grounds. He surveyed everything, estimating the cost of restoring the castle in his mind, and knew it would require a significant amount of money. But it was more than curiosity that drew him in. Something had called to him, whispering in the back of his mind, urging him to purchase the forsaken fortress.
Thomas was all in, ready to sign on the dotted line right now, but he knew he had to talk to his family first. So he drove back to Toft to return the Jeep, then to Mossbank, spent the night at the hotel in town. The next morning, he would get on a helicopter to the mainland of Scotland, and from there, a flight back to California where he lived with his family.
The next day, Thomas spent the day convincing his wife that Trevena Castle was going to be their forever home. He showed her the pictures that he had taken of the castle and the breathtaking views around the property. Annabelle agreed it would be a good investment, so Thomas made the deal and signed all of the paperwork.
Thomas decided to rent a temporary house in Mossbank that they would use until the construction and renovations were complete. He purchased a 4-wheel drive vehicle on the mainland and had it ferried to Toft so that they would have a vehicle to get up the mountain safely. Thomas set out on the long drive back up the mountain with his family.
Annabelle assured Thomas he wasn't alone in this venture. Annabelle and their two children, Michael, age 12, and Samantha, age 8, accompanied him. Annabelle was hesitant from the start, sensing an ominous air around the place. But Thomas reassured her that they could turn the castle into a grand, one-of-a-kind family estate and hotel.
Thomas built his fortune through a combination of daring investments, high-stake negotiations, and an uncanny ability to predict market trends. Coming from humble beginnings, he grew up in Salinas, California, watching his parents struggle to make ends meet. Determined to carve a different path for himself, he left home as a teenager and worked tirelessly to build his empire from the ground up. His love for history and adventure took him across the globe, where he collected rare artifacts and explored ancient ruins. Trevena Castle was going to be his latest project, a restoration of something lost to time.
Annabelle, in contrast, had grown up in an affluent family of academics. Her father, a historian, her mother, an author, and she had spent much of her life surrounded by books and scholarly discussions. While she admired Thomas's ambition, she had always been cautious of his tendency to pursue the unknown. A devoted mother, Annabelle prioritized the safety and well-being of her children, which is why she felt immediately uneasy about Trevena Castle. Something about it felt wrong.
She didn't understand why she felt this way about the castle, but she knew she couldn't reveal her fears to Thomas or the children, especially not the children. She attributed her feelings to the anxieties of starting a new life in a new country and unfamiliar landscapes.
Thomas began extensive renovations on Trevena Castle, a project that would take over a year. The first task was to obtain power, which was an easier task than he had thought, but also really expensive. After power was brought up to the plateau and the castle, a massive emergency generator was installed.
However, he quickly encountered challenges beyond the castle's crumbling state. Contractors would frequently quit without notice, often claiming unease or strange experiences on the property. This left Thomas in a constant cycle of hiring new workers, an arduous task given the remoteness of the castle.
Because of the castle's extreme seclusion, Thomas had to arrange temporary housing on site for the workers. The nearest village was too far for daily commuting, and supplies, building materials, and other essentials needed to be specifically delivered to the property, further complicating the process.
Thomas constructed a helipad on the property to alleviate transportation issues, enabling helicopters to deliver urgent materials and personnel more efficiently. The isolation and persistent setbacks only intensified Annabelle's growing unease. Nevertheless, Thomas remained determined to see the project through, convinced that restoring Trevena Castle would return it to its original grandeur.
After more than a year of hard work, Trevena Castle was finally restored to its former glory. The grand atrium shone brightly again, the towering staircases polished and majestic, and the guest rooms equipped with modern luxury while preserving their historical charm. It was everything Thomas had envisioned.
With the renovations finished, the Graves family officially moved into the castle. Until this point, the children had only visited the property a few times, never staying long enough to truly experience it. To them, it had been a grand and mysterious place their father was obsessed with, but now it was home.
On their first night, the castle was eerily quiet. The distant sounds of the waves crashing against the cliffs was the only noise breaking the silence. But as the days passed, the family began to notice strange occurrences. Objects were not where they had been left. Whispers echoed through the halls at night, and an unsettling coldness lingered in certain parts of the castle.
Annabelle, always the skeptic, attempted to overlook the abnormalities. But Michael and Samantha were not easily swayed. One evening, while Samantha played by herself in the west wing, she ran to her mother, her eyes wide open with fear. "Mommy," she whispered, "someone's here with us. I saw him." Annabelle's blood ran cold. She wanted to believe it was just Samantha's imagination. Yet, deep down, she knew something wasn't right.
Samantha, the youngest in the family, had an innocent curiosity that often led her into trouble. At just 8 years old, she possessed the uncanny ability to sense emotions in both places and people. She was the first to mention the presence in the castle, referring to a friend she encountered in the hallways. Unlike Michael, who feared the unknown, Samantha was drawn to it. She whispered to the shadows, listening intently to whatever they revealed to her. When Annabelle inquired about her imaginary friend, Samantha smiled and said, "He lived here a long time ago."
Michael was initially skeptical, but after his first night in the castle, his doubts began to fade. He noticed things. Shadows moving when no one was around, doors creaking open on their own. At first, he told himself it was just his imagination, but soon he wasn't so certain. Thomas convinced Michael that it was merely Samantha getting inside of his head with all the ghost stories. This seemed to calm Michael down for the time being, but he felt deep down that something was off. Still, he tried his best to push it out of his mind.
Thomas and Annabelle are preparing for the hotel's grand opening. The hotel is fully staffed and ready to go. Thomas has been running marketing campaigns for Trevena Castle over the last couple months, and the hotel is already fully booked for the opening weekend. Everyone was excited, especially the kids, who eagerly anticipated meeting others to play with.
Guests began arriving like clockwork and checking into their rooms. Everyone appeared satisfied with their accommodations. except for one guest who reported hearing scratching noises from the walls of the room and expressed concerns about possible rats. Annabelle apologized to the guest and assured them that they would work to resolve the issue.
Thomas went up to check the room to see if he could hear or see anything, while Annabelle called a pest control company to solve the issue. Dave, from Ready Bait Pest Control, inspected the castle and could not find any signs of vermin or anything that could have made the noise. He suggested putting up some traps around the hotel when there were no guests or limited guests.
Otherwise, the weekend was successful, and all the guests had left. Thomas and Annabelle and the kids were settling nicely into the castle when the strange occurrences grew more frequent. At first, it was just little things like a watch disappearing or other items being moved around, which they chalked up to forgetfulness.
Thomas heard sounds like furniture shifting, as if a chair was sliding across the wooden floor. He went to his daughter Samantha and began asking her questions about her ghost friend. He asked her, "Do you see your ghost friend all the time?" She replied, "Yes, Daddy. He's always following us around the castle." He then asked, "Do you talk to him often?" She replied, "No, only a few times, Daddy. He seems more interested in you."
This left an unsettling feeling in his stomach. Fear and worry overwhelmed him. Is she really seeing a ghost? What does it want? Is my family safe? These questions constantly ran through his mind.
Thomas needed to run to town for some supplies, so he decided to stop by Bob Higgins' office to ask him a few questions about Trevena Castle. When he met Bob for the first time before purchasing the property, Bob seemed very reluctant to visit the castle, and Thomas wanted to know why.
Thomas asked Bob if he knew anything about the history of Trevena Castle. Bob replied that he didn't know much, except that the castle had been vacant and lifeless for about 120 years. Others had shown interest in the property before him, but once they went to see it, he never heard from them again.
Bob mentioned that he had always felt uneasy at the castle, and one day he took a couple interested in buying it on a tour of the property. After they left, he was just about ready to get back in his car, and a wave of sadness washed over him. He then began to hear whispers around him. Frightened, he jumped into his car and drove off. A few minutes later, he found himself staring right back at the castle again. After that, he couldn't remember anything, but somehow he made it back to Mossbank. From that day forward, he vowed that he would never set foot in that castle again.
Bob said that he always heard rumors about the castle being haunted, but never believed them until that day. But it seems that the whole town of Mossbank and Toft believe it's haunted and won't go near the castle.
Thomas became obsessed with uncovering the castle's history. He decided to visit the library in Mossbank to research the castle. There, he explored old records, journals, and newspaper articles that revealed Trevena Castle was built in 1784 by George Ferguson, a ruthless businessman with a dark secret.
George Ferguson was originally from mainland Scotland, where he lived with his wife Olivia and their two children, Max and Sarah. George owned a large textile company. George mistreated everyone, his family, employees, and business associates. They respected his power, but feared him more.
Many believe that George was involved in the occult and that he conducted satanic rituals. These tales originated with workers at George's estate who discovered ceremonial rooms filled with dark objects. Some have also claimed to see George's eyes turn black as night, and he would speak in Latin in a low, guttural growl. This was from an article in the Scotland Daily newspaper.
Another article Thomas found was from the Scotland Times, which showed that George was under suspicion of insurance fraud, wrongful fire raising, and culpable and reckless conduct, which could result in a life sentence or hanging. It was believed that George set fire to a section of his textile plant. And it resulted in three of his employees dying in the fire.
After a lengthy court battle, George was found not guilty of all charges.
Order in the court! Order in the court!
At that point, everyone believed that he had simply bought his way out of his legal troubles. Following the trial, George's name and reputation were shattered. Fearing retaliation from the families of his deceased employees, George decided to relocate his family to Mossbank and build Trevena Castle.
Once the castle was built, he rented rooms to wealthy patrons and aristocrats, hosting lavish parties and social gatherings. Eventually, these people started to disappear, never to be seen again. This would go on for 12 years. Suspicion started to build within the townspeople in the nearby villages, and George was feeling the pressure.
Many people were asking questions, and George felt like he had reached the end. So George performed his last satanic ritual, which involved his family. George got dressed up in his ceremonial robes that night. He killed his wife first while she was sleeping in her bed. Then he went to both of the children's rooms, tied them up, and threw them down the well in the castle. Then he calmly walked back to his altar room in the basement, where he performed his rituals and blood sacrifices. George then shot himself in the head. Later, detectives would find a massive crypt in the basement littered with bodies, decaying flesh, and bones of victims. Jars lined the walls with severed body parts and organs, which George used in his rituals.
Thomas couldn't believe what he was reading. The horrors of this information chilled him to the bone. He copied all the details he had gathered and decided to head back to the castle. Just as Thomas was about to get into his vehicle, local sheriff Callum McDonald introduced himself. "You must be Thomas Graves," he said. Thomas was taken aback, but responded affirmatively. "My family and I just purchased and renovated Trevena Castle." Sheriff McDonald replied, "I know, you're the talk of the town. Everyone has been buzzing with gossip lately about the new owners of Trevena Castle. Feel free to call me Cal, by the way. We're pretty laid back around here. I just wanted to stop by and say hello. And if you ever need anything, don't hesitate to reach out." The sheriff handed Thomas his card. "By the way, I just wanted to make you aware that over the years, we've had to remove people from the property. Last year, there was a group that we had to run off, who were possibly performing some kind of rituals up there."
Thomas thanked Cal, got into his car, and drove to the castle. He couldn't shake off the horrors that he had read. They lingered in his mind. Thomas arrived back at the castle before nightfall. Annabelle called out to him as he walked in the door. "Honey, dinner is ready."
So Thomas sat down at the dinner table with his wife and children. He still felt out of sorts and didn't know what to say to his wife about the research he had found. He tried to push it to the back of his mind and asked Annabelle how her day was. She replied, "It was wonderful. The kids and I took a little walk around the property. We did some adventuring, and we had a great time. I even had some time to work on a new book." Thomas said, "That's wonderful, dear. I'm glad you and the kids had fun."
He then asked her if anything unusual had happened here today. Annabelle seemed confused and asked, "Why do you ask?" Thomas just shrugged and told her about what Sheriff Cal had mentioned, leaving out the part about the rituals. Annabelle assured Thomas she hadn't seen any creepers other than our kids. Michael and Samantha both chuckled. Samantha said, "Mom, that's not nice," and they all started laughing.
After dinner, Annabelle began to clear the table and do the dishes. Thomas asked Samantha if she had seen the old man today. She replied that she had. He was hanging around the basement door, holding an old weird-looking book, she added. "I didn't try to talk to him, although he looked angry, so I pretended I didn't see him." Thomas replied, "Good girl. Don't try to talk to him or pay attention to him anymore. Promise me, okay, sweetie? She responded, "Okay, Daddy." Thomas went to help Annabelle with the dishes, and then he put the kids to bed. After that, Annabelle decided to read a book for a while Thomas laid there, going over all the information he had learned in his head. He remembered what Samantha had said about the book the ghost was holding. Was that the satanic book George used in his rituals?
After a bit, Thomas noticed that Annabelle was asleep. He decided to go to the basement to see if there were any clues left behind about what was happening in this castle. But before he could do anything, Thomas heard screams coming from Samantha's room. He jumped out of bed and ran down the hall to Samantha's room, pushing open the door to see Samantha being pulled out of her bed by invisible hands. As he ran to Samantha, it suddenly stopped. Samantha was crying and very scared. Thomas picked her up and told her everything was okay. She was safe now.
Annabelle rushed into the room and asked what had happened. Thomas told her everything. Shaken to her core, Annabelle asked Thomas, "What do we do?" Thomas told her he wasn't sure, but reassured her that he would figure it out. Annabelle took Samantha and Michael into her room to sleep. Thomas decided it would be best to go to bed to keep his family safe, and he would go into the basement tomorrow.
Thomas couldn't sleep, perhaps getting only 1 hour the entire night. He was horrified that something else might happen. That morning, Thomas told Annabelle to take the kids to the inn in Mossbank and spend a few days there, and that he would come and get them when he had answers. Annabelle didn't want to leave Thomas at the castle, but she agreed.
After Annabelle and the kids left, Thomas grabbed a flashlight and headed to the basement. The basement had never been remodeled, so no electricity had been installed yet. This was actually the first time Thomas had been in the basement.
He searched for the altar room, but the basement was a maze of tunnels and passageways. He spent hours searching and was about to give up when he finally found the altar room. Thomas felt as if someone or something was watching him from the shadows.
He heard a voice, clear as day. "Get out!" Suddenly, doors slammed in the distance. He started to hear somebody running all around him, but he couldn't see anything except flickering black shadows just beyond his vision.
Suddenly, a black shadow figure ran towards him, causing Thomas to fall to the ground. He noticed a large book on the floor and grabbed it and ran out of the altar room. He made his way through the labyrinth of tunnels, trying to find his way back out of the basement.
Thomas finally found the stairs, but right before he could start climbing them, something grabbed his leg and began to pull him back into the tunnels. He managed to free his leg and run up the stairs and out the basement. Thomas held the door shut and was in shock from what had transpired. He heard the same voice from the other side of the door. "You shouldn't have come." After Thomas calmed down, he knew he had to find something to help his family.
He opened the grimoire from the basement. It was filled with dark spells and rituals. Thomas was flipping through the pages when he noticed something on one of them that compelled him to touch it. When he touched the symbol, he began receiving visions of George Ferguson summoning a demon using the book. The demon whispered to George to fulfill his tasks and rid himself of all familial bonds. George kept repeating, "It will be done. Sever all ties."
A few hours later, Thomas woke up on the floor. He started researching who he could call for help and found a medium in England with good press for solving issues like this. He decided to contact Sally Mansfield for help. Thomas told Sally about everything that was going on at Trevena Castle, and she agreed to assist. Thomas offered to come and get her in the helicopter, but Sally said that she doesn't fly. It's way too dangerous. She would make it there in a few days.
Thomas called Annabelle at the inn to check in on her and the kids. He told her that he had contacted a medium to help, so stay at the inn for a couple more days. Annabelle agreed and told Thomas to be careful. He promised her everything would be okay. The next couple of nights in the castle would be hell. Things flying through the air, smashing up against walls, shadows and figures moving. Thomas stayed locked in his room.
The next morning, Sally finally got to the castle. She could tell that Thomas was stressed out and lacking sleep, and she could sense that the spirits were tormenting him. Sally told Thomas that he needed to get some sleep, otherwise his state could lead to possession. "Why don't you go back to Moss Bank with your family? Get some sleep, try to relax." Sally said she would start cleansing the castle. Thomas, exhausted, agreed and headed back to Moss Bank.
Sally could feel the energy surrounding the castle. She sensed that its evil was very old and the worst kind, an evil she had never felt. Sally started cleansing the castle, smudging each room while chanting a prayer, thanking a higher power for clearing negative energy and welcoming the love and light. After the cleansing, Sally no longer felt the negative energy. Everything feels calm. She was expecting this battle to be way more intense, so she was confused as to why it stopped as it did.
She decided to stay in the castle overnight to ensure everything remained calm. In the morning, Sally called Thomas to let him know that the cleansing was successful and that everything seemed calm and peaceful in the castle now. Thomas thanked her for everything that she had done for his family. She told him to give her a call if any issues persisted, but hopefully whatever was haunting Trevina Castle was gone for good.
We'll be back after these messages.
Hi everyone, my name is Stein Fox, and I am the host of the Grammar Pagans podcast, here to tell you all about our amazing indie podcast. On the Grammar Pagans podcast, we cover such topics as the old gods, witchcrafts, giants, tantra, and even more far-out topics such as homunculus and astrotheology. You can find us on all bigger podcasting platforms under Greyhorn Pagans Podcast and on indie platforms such as Goodpods and Kiyoshi under the same name. Or simply go to www.greyhornpagans.com for the direct link. Thank you all so much and we'll see you there.
And back to the show.
Thomas and his family packed up their belongings at the inn and started the long drive back to Trevina Castle. They arrived that afternoon, and the atmosphere inside the castle felt different, lighter, even positive. Thomas asked Samantha if she could see the old man from before, and she replied, "No, Daddy, I don't see him anywhere." That made Thomas feel better, almost relaxed. For the rest of the evening, the castle was peaceful. Thomas and Annabelle put the kids to bed and settled in for a good night's sleep.
Around midnight, everything changed. They heard every door in the castle slam shut all at once. Then they heard screaming from Michael's room. Thomas and Annabelle ran to his room to find Michael levitating 2 feet off his bed. His head back, his eyes are white, and he was convulsing. Thomas ran to grab him, but was pushed by invisible forces. Objects started flying around the room, smashing into walls. Annabelle managed to get to Michael and get him down. Thomas yelled to Annabelle to get Michael out of there.
Thomas stood up and ran to Samantha's room, only to find her missing from her bed. He screamed for her, but received no response. Thomas started racing through the castle halls, searching every room, yet he could not find her. He checked the kitchen and noticed the basement door was open.
Thomas grabbed a flashlight and descended into the labyrinth of tunnels. He made his way back to the altar room where Samantha was. She was inside but not responding to his calls. She stood with her arms raised in the air as if calling out to somebody in the pitch black. Thomas recalled the vision he had of George Ferguson summoning the demon.
Thomas tried to shake her out of the trance she was in, but before he could reach her, she turned around. A guttural groan escaped Samantha, and in a demonic voice, she said,
"This is the end for you, Thomas."
She sent Thomas flying into the wall, then slamming him to the ground, and then tossed him up to the ceiling and held him there with just a flick of her wrist. Then, on the ground once more with a thud, Thomas was feeling intense pain in his right arm. Thomas yelled out to his daughter, "Samantha Marie Graves," like he was scolding her. Samantha snapped out of her trance. Samantha started crying and said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm scared." Thomas scooped her up in his arms and ran out of the basement as fast as he could.
Thomas and Samantha ran back to find Annabelle and Michael. Annabelle asked Thomas, "What should we do now?" Thomas told her to pack a bag. We're getting out of here for now. They got in their car and went back to town. Right away, he called Sally and told her what had happened. Sally told Thomas she would make a few calls and be there in a few days. Sally called Father Evander Lachlan and she explained the situation to him. Father Lachlan was immediately concerned for the safety of Thomas and his family. Father Lachlan told Sally to call Fred Dunn, a demonologist, and Fiona Collins, a professor in occult sciences at the University of Edinburgh. Let them know I'll be at Trevena Castle in 2 days and could use their assistance at the castle.
Sally told Father Lachlan that she would take care of that and meet him at Trevena Castle in 2 days. She then called Fred and Fiona to inform them of the situation and that Father Lachlan was requesting their assistance. They agreed to help and assured Sally that they would be there. Next, Sally called Thomas to inform him of the plan and to arrange for everybody to meet at the castle. Thomas has always been one who will not back down from a fight, and he felt like he was being run out of his home by unseen forces. He wasn't going to let this happen.
Thomas pulled up to the castle, and he was the first to arrive. He got out of his car and stood staring at Trevena Castle, anger building up inside him. The air around the property felt heavy and ominous, as if something bad was about to happen. Even the skies looked like they were going to swallow him whole. It was a cold, damp day that turned into night under the heavy cloud cover, and the wind was howling like melodic whispers in the wind. The creep factor was definitely set to 9.
When Sally arrived, Thomas started walking towards the castle. She told him to wait for Father Lachlan before going inside. It should only take a few minutes, and everyone should be here. While they were waiting, Thomas decided to show Sally the grimoire he had found in the altar room. Sally touched the book and instantly dropped it.
She said the book is extremely powerful and evil. Whatever evil was surrounding it, the book wouldn't let me touch it. But she sensed it was calling out to Thomas. She then asked Thomas if he was hearing whispers from the book or anything trying to reach out to him. He said that when he held the book, he felt powerful, but when he looked at it, he felt extreme terror. Sally advised him not to hold the book, as it could try to take over your mind.
Thomas and Sally could hear multiple cars approaching. Father Lachlan was the first to get out of the car, and he arrived with Bishop William Moore, followed by Fred Dunn and Fiona Collins. Sally introduced everyone to Thomas, and they all went inside the castle. At first, everything was quiet. Fred and Fiona started setting up some equipment and cameras. They had tons of equipment, night vision cameras and thermal cameras. It took them hours to set it all up. Father Lachlan and Bishop Moore were getting things ready as well.
Thomas followed Sally's advice and put the grimoire in the closet to avoid the temptation to touch it. He felt like he needed to be doing something, so he asked if anybody wanted coffee or tea. Everyone wanted tea, so he started to boil some water. Thomas decided on coffee, something with more of a kick to relax the nerves a bit.
Fred and Fiona set up all the cameras. Father Lachlan and Bishop Moore were ready to begin the house blessing. Father Lachlan handed everyone a small blessed cross, a small vial of holy water, and a walkie-talkie. He then told Thomas to take the north corner of the house, Bishop Moore to take the south corner, Fred to take the east corner, and Sally to take the west corner. Then dig a small hole, 2 to 3 inches deep, place the cross in, cover the hole back up, and pour the holy water over it. I'll be at the center point of the castle and we'll start the prayer once all the crosses are in place and everyone radios back. We need to be quick and get all the steps right because once we start laying the first cross, the energy in this place is going to change quickly because a demon could try to stop us. Everyone get back inside the castle as fast as possible.
Everyone got into their respective spots and dug their holes, placed the crosses, and poured the holy water. They all ran back into the castle to Father Lachlan, and he started reciting the prayer of Saint Michael. Blessed Michael, Archangel, defend us in our hour of conflict. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God restrain him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust Satan down to hell, and with him those other wicked spirits who wander through the world of the ruins of the souls. Then Thomas, Fred, Fiona, Sally, and Bishop Moore all said amen.
Then, as if hell was trying to open up and release every demon from within, the whole castle started to shake, and the stone walls seemed to be swaying like the whole thing was going to collapse. A black cloud of smoke filled the castle. A very intense wind was blowing through the castle like a tornado. Visibility was almost zero, and everyone was scrambling to make sense of the situation.
When the cloud stopped, Thomas looked around, and everyone was gone. He tried to get outside to his phone, but couldn't open the doors. He tried a window, and that wouldn't open either. He knew he was trapped. The only way to get out was to defeat this evil. Thomas started yelling for the others, but nobody responded.
Thomas began searching the castle for the others, started on the second floor before checking the main level, but didn't find anyone. He knew at that moment to check the altar room in the basement. Thomas grabbed his flashlight and headed down into the basement. He had to pry the basement door open. Something did not want him down there. After nearly breaking down the door, Thomas started making his way through the labyrinth of tunnels. The air was heavy, and he heard screaming as if somebody was being tortured. Suddenly, his flashlight went dead, so he started banging it to try to get it to work. Nothing happened, so he walked in the darkness, unsure of where to go, feeling around for passageways while noticing shadows moving in the complete darkness. Then something screamed in his ears.
Leave now!
But Thomas would not turn back or give up. Then he heard, "You will die today." Thomas rounded the corner, and in the blackness, he could see a faint light. As he got closer, it looked like his daughter Samantha, and he yelled out to her, "What are you doing here? Where is your mother?" As he neared her, she turned, and for a second, he could make out her face. Suddenly, her eyes shifted to black. Her face began to distort, and she started running at Thomas. As she neared, her body transformed into a demonic dog that leapt at him. He quickly ran across another dark passageway, now hyperventilating, unable to believe what he had just witnessed.
Thomas sat down, kind of leaning up against the wall, and he was feeling around in the dark. His hand brushed against something soft. Shock and fear hit him, and he pulled out a lighter that he kept in his back pocket for emergencies. He looked and saw Fred, the demonologist, dead on the floor. His face was distended and distorted as if he died of fear.
Thomas was even more concerned now, realizing that a demon could actually kill. It was alarming. He continued feeling his way through the tunnels and reached a crossroad. Unsure of which direction to take, he stood there. He began to hear a dripping sound nearby. Finding this strange, Thomas felt around to inspect the source of the noise, only to discover that he was getting dripped on. It didn't feel like water, so he lit his lighter again and examined the substance. To his horror, it was blood. He looked up at the ceiling where the dripping originated and saw Father Lachlan hanging there, nailed like Jesus on the cross.
Thomas thought he was the only one still alive. He noticed that Father Lachlan had a flashlight attached to him and took it. Turning on the flashlight, he began running back towards the entrance of the tunnels, where he encountered Sally. She was still alive. Thomas gave her a big hug and said, "Thank God you're alive." To which she replied, unsure if God had much to do with it down here. Thomas asked if she'd seen anyone else. Sally said that Fiona and I were together, and something tore to shreds, so I started running, and I got lucky and found you. He told her that Fred Dunn and Father Lachlan were both dead too.
Sally told Thomas that they needed to get the book. The grimoire was the power source, and she could feel its intensity. "Can you hear it calling to you?" she asked Thomas. Thomas replied that he didn't hear anything. She explained that the demon is too powerful to defeat with prayer due to the way it was brought into this world by dark magic from George Ferguson. George's spirit is essentially controlling the demon, directing it to attack like an obedient guard dog. The only way this could happen is with the book. There must be a summoning ritual or something in there to stop this.
Thomas told her he followed her suggestion and placed the book somewhere out of sight to avoid temptation of holding it. But it's upstairs. How will we get to it? Sally wasn't sure, but we need to try. Then, we need to get the book into the altar room. She wasn't sure why, but she could feel whatever they needed to do was in there.
So they both ran through the tunnels and up the basement stairs, and Thomas charged through the door like a linebacker, breaking through an entire defensive line and smashing what was left of the door into a million pieces. Thomas and Sally rushed towards the book. Sally became engulfed in a cloud of demonic smoke as Thomas grabbed the book, and she shouted, "Thomas, open the book!" He quickly opened the book, and the demon smoke was sucked into it. Sally thanked Thomas and yelled, "Let's go kick some demon ass!"
They began to make their way back to the basement, down the stairs, and into the tunnels, when suddenly, a demon dog started chasing them down the tunnels. Thomas turned one way, and Sally turned in the other direction. Thomas yelled out to Sally. She yelled back, "I'll be okay. Get to the altar room." Thomas kept running, which felt like forever, and finally reaching the altar room. When he walked in, he saw a black shadow at the altar that transformed into George Ferguson.
George called out to Thomas, saying, "Just open the book, Thomas. Feel its power. Take the book into your soul. You can be eternally immortal forever like me." Thomas screamed, "Never!" He started to feel weak, lightheaded, and confused.
Then, out of nowhere, his family appeared in the altar room. Thomas yelled, "Annabelle, what are you doing here? Why did you bring the kids?" Annabelle replied, "Thomas, dear, just read the passage from the book, and we will be happy forever." Thomas started crying as he looked at Annabelle, her eyes as black as coal. Then Michael and Samantha said, "Daddy, please, we just want to be happy again. Just read it." They repeated, "Just read it," several times, each repetition sounding deeper and more guttural than the last. Thomas could feel the book's power starting to entice him into opening it and reading the passage. He just wanted this nightmare to end.
Sally rushed into the altar room and yelled, "Don't read from the book. It's a trick." Thomas stopped. George started to focus on Sally, now showing her things that weren't real. But Sally could see through his tricks and told Thomas that whatever he saw, he couldn't believe it. It wasn't real. Sally suddenly flew backward and started sliding across the floor and down one of the tunnels, then out of sight.
Thomas snapped out of whatever was trying to take control of him. He ran to the altar and plunged a knife into the grimoire. Suddenly, a horrific rumbling sound began to fill the tunnels, converging into the altar room. As it filled the ceiling completely with a black cloud that was sucked into the book, then everything went still. The air felt lighter, and everything seemed less dark.
Thomas started yelling out for Sally, "I'm okay, Thomas. You did it. I don't feel anything but peace in the castle now. How did you figure out what to do?" Thomas looked at her and said, "I have no clue. I was just sick of looking at that damn book," and she kind of laughed, and they walked out of the labyrinth of tunnels back into the kitchen.
They were about to leave the castle when Bishop Moore ran in, saying he had been trapped in his car the whole time.
Thomas and Sally told him everything that had happened and the bad news about Father Lachlan, Fred, and Fiona.
Bishop Moore told them to get in his car. He would take them back to Moss Bank Inn so Thomas could see his family and Sally could get some rest, and he would take care of everything else.
When the sheriff arrived, Bishop Moore explained everything to him. I can't be sure if the sheriff actually believed Bishop Moore's demon pitch, but he just shrugged and said, "Okay."
Thomas, Annabelle, Michael, and Samantha slowly adjusted to their demon-free castle. Eventually, they were very happy and in love with their home once more.
After all the horrific history, they returned to opening the Trevena Castle as the grand hotel it once was and will be again. That's the end of our tale of the haunting of Trevena Castle.
And that, Conundrum Crew, is the terrifying tale of the haunting of Trevena Castle. Ghosts, demons, secret tunnels, and a cursed book. This one had everything.
Yeah, and let's just say, if I was Thomas Graves, I would have taken one look at that castle and noped my way right back to civilization.
Same, but in a true Total Conundrum fashion, we love a good haunting that refuses to be ignored. What do you guys think? Would you dare stay the night in Trevena Castle? Or would you be running for the hills the second you heard whispers in the dark?
Let us know on our socials or at TotalConundrum.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a review. It really helps us keep diving into these twisted tales.
Speaking of twisted, next week we're shifting gears from the paranormal to something even more terrifying, a real-life horror. We're diving into the chilling crimes of Harold Shipman, the doctor who took the Hippocratic Oath and then completely ignored it.
That's right. This so-called trusted physician is one of the most prolific serial killers in history. How did he get away with it so long? What finally led to his capture? And how many victims did he actually have? We'll break it all down next week.
So stay tuned, Conundrum Crew. You won't want to miss this one. Until next time, stay curious, stay skeptical, and as always,
keep on creeping on. We love you.
Bye. Thanks for hanging out with us here at Total Conundrum. Please make sure to check out our website and blog at totalconundrum.com for news, upcoming events, merch, bloopers, and additional hysteria. You never know what will pop up, so be sure to follow along. If you want to show your support for Total Conundrum and gain access to all of our bonus content, please visit our Patreon page. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links are available in our show notes. If you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or stories to share, please email us at contact@totalconundrum.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.